Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. There was no doubt about that in the minds of the disciples, except for Thomas. Now, Thomas lived on the wrong side of Easter for a whole week. I don't know what he was doing, but he didn't believe for a whole week. Christ had risen, but Thomas was living on the wrong side of Easter. And it's possible for us to live on the wrong side of Easter, sometimes without realizing it. Because Jesus has risen, if we are living on the right side of Easter, we will have complete assurance of the forgiveness of all our sins. God, as we were talking about in the Bible study a little while ago, he won't ever say to you, "Your sin is too big, I can't forgive it." He won't ever say to you, "You've done this once too often, you've had it." He wouldn't say that to you. If your Christ is really risen, you will have complete and absolute assurance of the forgiveness of every single sin you've ever committed or will commit. Jesus has risen from the dead. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, "If Christ has not risen, you are still in your sins if you believe that." And if you believe that Christ has not risen, or I believe Christ has not risen, then we are still in our sins. We are living on the wrong side of Easter. But if we have that blessed assurance that we are indeed cleansed as we put our faith in all he did at Calvary and the empty tomb, then our sins are forgiven. If we believe that, we know the complete and utter assurance that we are free indeed from everything we've ever done, thought, or ever thought about doing that's wrong. Sins of the mind, the body, the spirit, everything. Absolutely clean today as we took our communion, because we believe that Christ is risen and we are living on the right side of Easter. Another thing, if you are living on the right side of Easter, you will have the assurance that your prayers will be answered. Of that there is no doubt. As Jesus said, you may have to keep on asking for a while. You may have to keep on seeking. You may have to keep on knocking as God tests your patience and your faith and mine. But we will have absolute assurance that our prayers will be answered. Some of us are not very good prayers. We find that as we pray, our mind wanders and we have to keep bringing them back. That's natural, and God understands that. We keep on. I hope our prayers never sink to the level of a man who said to me, "Trevor, my prayers are not answered." I said to him, "My brother, how do you pray?" He said, "I've written the Lord's Prayer on a piece of card, put it above my bed." It's true. And he said, "I point to it every night and say, 'That's my prayer, Lord,' and I go to sleep." "My prayers are not answered." I said, "No wonder." Well, none of us can pray perfectly, but because Jesus has risen, he ever liveth, says the Bible, to make intercession for us. He takes our humble and inadequate prayers, makes them his own. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he takes them right within the veil of glory to the Holy of Holies and presents them before the Father. We can be sure that our prayers will be answered because he is risen. and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Another thing that's true if you are living on the right side of Easter is you will believe in the possibility of divine healing and that he works miracles today. I remember when I was a vicar, a rector actually, it was called in the United States, and I drove a car and I had on the back window a big notice, "I believe in miracles." One day I was called to a man's bed who was dying in a hospital. I had to get there quick. I was driving round and round the hospital car park, and even in America, not only in England, you couldn't find anywhere to park. So I ran up on the verge and parked there, ran to the hospital and got there just in time. When I came back, under "I believe in miracles" was written, "Driving the way you do, it's a good job that you do." I believe in miracles, definitely. I've seen so many. And even Anne and I wrote a book called The God of Miracles, which we shall be giving to everybody in the church, which I will be before very long. Greater things. This is what the Bible says. Because he lives, the things Jesus said that I do, will you do also. And greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter healed a man, Peter and John, who was lame at the beautiful gate and had been there all his life, and they grabbed him by the hand and raised him up. Then they said to the crowd that gathered, "It is his name, Jesus' name, and faith in his name, which has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What they were saying was, we've used the name of Jesus to bring him healing. If Jesus was dead, his name would have no power whatsoever. But the fact that this man is raised is a proof that Jesus is alive. Let's not live on the wrong side of Easter. Let's believe that Jesus is risen and healing and miracles are possible today. And another thing, if we're living on the right side of Easter, we will not be afraid of death. Not at all. When I was vicar of St. Paul's Hainault, just outside London, I once gave a sermon in which I preached about heaven, and I said, "It's like a great banquet," the Bible says. I said, "And somewhere near the door is a chair with my name on it, because Jesus said the place is reserved for you in heaven." So right now, at this very moment, in heaven, there's a seat with Trevor Deering on it. And I said, if you get there before I do, you can dust the seat, but don't sit on it. You can dust it because I'm coming. In my congregation, unknown to me at that time, I learned afterwards, was a man called Wally. He was in terminal cancer situation with cancer of the liver. He went home to Southend. When I was in Singapore, I got a letter from a nurse. She said, "I was nursing a man called Wally in Southend Hospital the other day, and he died. And he gave me a strange message. He said, write to Trevor Deering and tell him that I have gone to dust his seat." Because Christ is raised from the dead, he is the first fruits of those that are asleep. And finally, because Christ is risen, we can be absolutely sure we're not pessimists. We don't have our head in the clouds either, but we can say that despite the terrorists, despite the bombs, despite the fear, despite the wars, despite the death, despite all the evil that there is in this world, good is going to triumph. Absolutely sure we are. We may not live to see it, I may not. 82, he's got to come pretty quick to get me there. But The thing is, we can be absolutely sure. I'm absolutely sure, as I stand here today, despite what's happened in Brussels this week, that we are going to know in heaven or on earth, with those living and those at the end of time, even before that, despite all the evil which Satan can put into the hearts of men and dreadful things that are done, good and love is going to triumph. How do I know? Because Peter writes in his epistle, we have been begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Satan did everything he could to destroy Jesus and all he stood for. But Jesus arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. We can sing with confidence if we're living on the right side of Easter, I serve a risen Saviour. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Thomas bowed down. Jesus didn't chastise him. Jesus didn't condemn him. And he wouldn't condemn anybody else either who doesn't believe. Jesus met him at the point of his need and his weakness. And Thomas came to live on the right side of Easter. There's even a very good certainty that Thomas travelled to India and founded the Christian church there. In fact, the Christian church there is called Thomist Church, after him. He came to live on the right side of Easter. He bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. And let us this Easter day say the same thing. Jesus, risen from the dead, my Lord and my God. Amen.